We've had a wonderful day today, and it was a special treat and delight to spend the afternoon at the McDiarmid's. And yes, she really does cook well. Really. We had good food. They said if we could come and spend a day with them, unless we got a better offer. So anybody who said, you got someplace, guys, what do you having to eat? And we had just fine. It was really good. So we love being with the McDiarmid's today. And it's always such a delight to be with you folks. It's a refreshment to us to worship with you all and to see your faces again. And I think it's been about a year since we were here last. And I hope after today you'll let me come back again. So let's pray now as we come to our study tonight. Father in heaven, we're thankful that in Christ alone we stand. From life's first cry to final breath, you command our destiny, and we are all together, completely, absolutely, 100% dependent upon you. And you are so good to us, and you give us far more than we deserve. And we thank you that you've met with us today. Do that again this evening, and help us in both the preaching and the hearing of your word. May these moments not be in vain, but may they be blessed by your Holy Spirit. Our help is in you, and we need your help for these moments to be well spent. We are dependent, so come and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we began this morning to look at this matter of our dependence upon God, and we saw how the Bible very clearly establishes the fact that everyone on the face of the earth is absolutely, completely, 100% dependent upon God. Did you remember that, kids? If you open the door, somebody's going to walk through it. Okay. That was really good. Or really bad, depending on your perspective. Okay, let's reel this back in now. We're absolutely, completely, 100% dependent upon God. And you just work on that tonight, okay? And whether we acknowledge that dependence or not, it's true. Whether you like it, whether you admit it, whether you say, yeah, I love it that it's true, or whether you say, I disagree altogether, I'm sorry. Even if you disagree, you are. You're dependent upon God. Absolutely, completely, 100%, all the time, for absolutely, completely, 100% of everything. His role as creator, sustainer, redeemer, and giver makes our dependence upon him clear. And that means that we gladly acknowledge, we should gladly acknowledge, that everything we are and everything we have comes from him. We acknowledge that there are no independent areas of our life roped off from him. We look to him and we lean upon him and we trust him in all of life. Now, it's one thing to say all that. We can say those words and they come out of our mouths mostly pretty easily, don't they? It's another thing actually to live like that. So tonight we want to take a little time to consider what it looks like to live that way, to actually express our dependence upon God. So if you think about it for a while, this business of dependence, you begin to see that certain things are intimately bound up with it. There are other things, I'm sure, but the three I want to focus on tonight are these: prayer and gratitude and humility, those things are the face of dependence. It's what dependence looks like. If you really are, and you embrace the truth that you are dependent upon God, it's going to show itself in your prayers, in your gratitude, and in your spirit of humility. So let's just take these one at a time. First, prayer. Many have said that prayer is the language of dependence. Listen to these familiar words. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. There's that word again. We saw it this morning, didn't we? And what does the word need mean? It means that we have need of something. We're in need. We're not independent. We're not self-sufficient. I don't have everything I need in and of myself, so I got to go somewhere to get it. I need a gallon of milk. I go to the grocery store. I can't just simply produce milk. I need something to eat. I go to the rest. I can't just produce something to eat. I need all kinds of things. And prayer is the language with which we express that need. It is the language of dependence. And what time in our lives is not a time of need? At what point in our lives do we come to the place where we don't need grace to help in time of need? Or the language of Matthew 6:31-32. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? What are those things? Drink and clothing and food. Those are needs. You guys are getting it. Those are needs, which makes us dependent creatures. We are needy. Yes. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We don't have them in ourselves. So what do? We have to ask. We have to ask. Prayer is the language of dependence. We're always in need, aren't we? What do we need? Our daily bread, wisdom, health, strength, discernment, courage, compassion, patience, humility, love for one another, self-control, greater faith, more zeal for holy things, kindness, contentment, freedom from anxiety, submission to providence, more joy, greater hearts for God, more boldness in our witness, a greater sense of awe in the presence of God. Da 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 da. We need everything, don't we? We need everything. One of the rebukes Jesus gave to the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:17 was this. You say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And what does that attitude and that mindset bring from Jesus? It brings rebuke. You think you've got it all. You say, I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's what we are. That's what we are. So what do we need? Everything. We need everything. And where do we get it? We get it from the giver of all good things. And how do we get it? What is the means by which we fetch from heaven the stuff we need? Prayer. We go to Him and ask. It is the language of dependence. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to the words of an older writer, B.B. Warfield, who's preaching a sermon on Acts 9:11, which is the account, Acts chapter 9 is the account of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And the Lord sent this guy named Ananias to go find him just after his radical conversion. And he was told how he would find him. Behold, he is praying. And Warfield makes this comment on that text. Behold, he is praying. What is prayer but a recognition of our dependence and a proclamation that All that we dependent creatures need is found abundantly in despair in God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Therefore, it is that we look upon the prayerful attitude as above all others, the Christian attitude, just because it is the attitude of devout and hopeful dependence on God. What other attitude is possible to a Christian on his knees before God but an attitude of entire dependence on God for his gifts and of humble supplication him for his favor? But are we to rise from our knees only to take up a different attitude towards God? For we Calvinists, how bold of him to say that. For we Calvinists, the attitude of prayer is the whole attitude of our lives. Certainly, this is the true Christian attitude because it is the attitude of dependence and trust. Warfield makes two points. One is that prayer is the language of dependence, and it's the attitude that ought to mark every true Christian. And his second point is that such an attitude of dependence ought to mark our lives after we get up off our knees. When we're down on our knees, or whatever posture you assume when you pray, whether your eyes are open or closed, whether your hands are folded or not, when you're in that posture of prayer, it's an obvious expression of dependence upon God, because you're asking, among many other things we do in our prayers, we're asking. We're asking God for the things we need. But then we get up off our knees and we go about our business, and sometimes we scarcely have another thought of how dependent upon God we are. And so what do we need to do? We need to carry that attitude that we express on our knees in our closets before God. We need to carry that attitude with us all day long. That's what Warfield is saying. So, at least three questions come to us, and they're obvious. The first is, do you pray? Do you pray? If you don't pray, you desperately need to pray. And what you need to pray is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. If you don't pray, praying is like breathing, isn't it? Can you live without breathing? No. We can't. Can you exist as a Christian without praying? No. So I start with the most obvious. Do you pray? And if you don't pray, if prayer is not the habit of your life, if it is not often the automatic response of your heart, then you need to have some serious dealings with God, and you need to become a Christian by trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Do you pray? Do you draw away from distractions? Do you block out some time? Do you get alone with God? Do you do so consistently? Do you do it every day? Don't you need grace every day? Don't you need grace every hour? Don't you need grace every minute? Don't you need grace every second? Don't you need grace every millisecond? Where do you want to stop? See, we need it all the time. So we need to be praying consistently, day after day after day. We need wisdom every day. We need help every day. We need discernment every day. We need courage every day. We need strength every day to resist the devil. Do we pray every day? That's what dependence upon God looks like. It looks like prayer. Second question, do you pray because you're supposed to? Or do you pray because you need to? Now, sometimes, and thank God that sometimes a sense of duty, I'm supposed to, drives us to our knees. It's better to pray because you're supposed to than not to pray. Right? And sometimes you have to get down on your knees and you pray because you're supposed to. And the first thing you pray is, Lord, I need to want this more than I do. So, do you pray because you're supposed to? Y'all say that here in Louisville? Supposed to? You know what that is? Okay, that's Western Kentucky speak. Supposed to. Or because you need to. To be sure, there are times when the only thing that gets us to pray is our sense of duty. And we ought to be thankful for that. But do you find yourself driven to the throne of grace out of a sense of your utter dependence upon God? you feel the need for wisdom. Don't you? You feel the urgency of the moment. You feel the helplessness of the situation. And over again through the course of a day, you find yourself going again and again to the throne of grace because you need to. And because your cries for help going up to heaven are necessary for you. And sometimes it almost leaves you wondering if God is not weary of your cries. Don't worry, He's not. But we ought to be coming with so much frequency that we begin to feel like the importunate widow. And we're about to drive the unjust judge crazy. And He finally grants our request. Okay, God is not the unjust judge, but you know the parable. And we ought to be like the importunate widow. She needed relief. She needed relief. She felt the need of relief. And so what did she do? She banged on that judge's door over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until she got relief. Do you begin your day with something like, Lord, I have a new day. Thank You that Your mercies are new this morning. And I don't know what this day will hold, but whatever it is, I'm not sufficient for it. I need Your grace. I need Your help. I need Your wisdom. Oh, Lord, go through this day with me. Do you begin your day? Does your sense of need take you regularly to a time of exclusive, shut everything else out kind of prayer? Whatever happened to going into the closet and shutting the door and praying to your Father in secret? Life is too busy. I got too much to do. Life is too busy. Okay, you know what the problem is? If life is too busy? The problem is life is too busy. And sometimes we need to shut the door. And I don't think Jesus meant that we had to go into a literal closet and close the door and spread the coats out and get... No, you shut the door of everything else, of all the other parts of life and all the distractions. You shut them out. And you get alone with God for the purpose of concentrated, undistracted prayer. Whatever happened to that? I'm afraid sometimes it's become a casualty in the War of Independence. In the War of Independence, the closet, the secret closet of prayer has become a casualty. And we need to recover that discipline. And my last question with regard to prayer is, do you lose your sense of dependence when you've said amen and get up off your knees? True, we can't spend our whole lives on our knees, nor can we spend our whole lives in conscious, secluded prayer. We have responsibilities to fulfill that require all our attention, and we have duties that require focused thought, and God expects us to do that. But even in the midst of those legitimate duties, we should never be very far from feeling our need of grace from God. And this is a rebuke to me. The quick arrows we shoot up to heaven ought to be many, 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 many throughout the course of the day. And we can go for long periods of time, can't we, without a conscious thought. Lord, I need, what's the old hymn say? I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. Let's not lose our sense of dependence when we've said amen and we've gotten up off our knees. So we need to be careful to guard our devoted times of secret prayer. We need to be careful about starting our days with a purposeful look up to heaven. We need to be careful about doing that through the day. And if that's hard for you, I got a solution. All right, you ready for this? Ask God to help you. Because I'm dependent upon Him for the spirit and attitude of dependence. So ask God to help you. Can God deny such a request for the grace to be more practically dependent upon Him? Ask Him and see. But don't be surprised how He might answer that prayer. Because He just may start knocking props out from underneath you so that you feel your dependence upon Him. So dependence looks like prayer. That's one of its faces. Secondly, dependence looks like gratitude. The connection here again ought to be obvious. If we're dependent upon God for everything, then when anything comes to us, what should our response be? Thank you. Thank you. Not just the words, but the heart. Thank you. One of the reasons we live in such an ungrateful age is that so many people think that everything is owed to them. Society owes them a job, a comfy retirement, a free handout, a better deal. There was a period of history called the Age of Enlightenment. You know what this age ought to be called? The Age of Entitlement. Everybody's entitled. You owe me. You owe me. You owe me. You owe me. We are owed nothing. We are owed nothing. We are totally, absolutely, completely, 100% dependent upon God for totally, absolutely, completely, 100% of everything. We are owed nothing. So when we get anything, what is our response? Thank you. It's thank you. Again, the Bible is so clear on this point. It's clear with regard to the part thanksgiving ought to play in our prayers. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's gratitude. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What we can multiply the passages. If you're really dependent, you'll find more and more of your prayers being taken up with expressions of thanksgiving to God. Psalm 107, the first three verses. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got four more passages here to read. I'm only going to read one of them to you. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands from east and west and north and south. Give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Then what do you say? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. The people know you as a thankful person. Do they hear you giving thanks? Do you find the hymns we sing that have especially to do with thanksgiving to be especially delightful? Do you love to sing them? I love the thanksgiving hymns. Why? They're about thanksgiving, aren't they? You find yourself singing those thanksgiving hymns with greater delight and joy if you know in the depths of your heart that you are an utterly dependent person. And you'll find this grace of gratitude leaking out in other places that aren't directly aimed at God. But if gratitude is a mindset for us, if gratitude is the face of our dependence upon God, then that gratitude is going to be expressed not just to God, but it's going to be expressed in lots and lots of places. Steph, thank you for that wonderful meal today. Thank you. Thanks for having us in your home. Ruth, thanks for letting me have a little nap on your bed. Thank you. It'll leak out in all kinds of places. The waitress or waiter will notice when they refill your water glass and when they bring you extra butter for your baked potato and they clear your plates from the table. When I'm in a restaurant, I watch for that. And every time the waiter or waitress fills my glass, thank you. And I look around the table sometimes and they're being served right and left and nary a word of thanks escapes their lips. The bank teller will notice when she gives your kids a sucker. Thank you. Really? The grocery clerk will notice when he bags your groceries at the checkout. Thank you. Thank you. The UPS guy will notice when he hands you the package. Thank you. The customer service rep on the phone who just helped you resolve a problem will notice when you say, thank you for your time. The neighbor who raked your leaves, the repairman who fixed your dryer, the stranger who returned your wallet, the soldier you passed in the airport, the maid who cleaned your room in the hotel, the Sunday school teacher who taught your kids this morning, the nursery worker. How many of you go find the Sunday school teachers and say thank you? Go find them. Don't go home tonight. Go find the people that taught your kids Sunday school this morning and say thank you. There are people in the nursery tonight. When you go pick up your kids, thank you. Oh, thank you. Really. Your pastors and deacons who serve you so well. All these people will notice whether or not you're a person marked by gratitude. And if you recognize your dependence on God, you're going to be marked by gratitude because everything comes as a gift. You're owed nothing. You receive an abundance. And what do you say? Thank you. Thank you. And last, dependence looks like humility. This ought to be pretty clear to us by now. If we're totally dependent upon God for absolutely everything all the time, what does that do to our sense of self-sufficiency? What does that do to our pride? It shoots it down. It whittles it down to nothing. It just blasts it to smithereens, is what it does. The attitude that flows out of a sense of utter dependence says, all that I am and all that I have comes freely from God. I owe Him everything. That is humility. Again, the Bible makes this so clear. The Bible calls us to humility so many times. Colossians 3:12. And so as those who's been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Ephesians 4:1-2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. 1 Peter 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is not an option. And that's especially true with regard to developing this attitude and mindset of dependence. If we're short on humility, it's a reflection of our remaining independence. And that we don't really think we have that many needs because we think we're self-sufficient. And we have what we need in ourselves. And sometimes the Lord puts us in places that are so clearly places of dependence upon Him. And what He's after when He does that is to produce humility in us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. And with this, we're just about done. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Was there ever a place where dependence was more felt than in Israel's wanderings in the wilderness? You think about it. If God didn't give them water out of the rocks, they were going to have no water. Period. End of discussion. There was no water in the desert. There was none. Zero, zip, nothing. And if God didn't make water come out of that rock, they were going to die of thirst. They needed water. There was none to be had. If God didn't send them manna out of heaven, they would have no food. Now, that's a place of felt dependence, isn't it? No food, no water. If God didn't give them a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, they had no direction. They were as lost as a goose. Utterly dependent. They needed that cloud. They needed that fiery pillar. They needed water out of the rock. They needed manna out of heaven. Utterly dependent upon God. Now, read what the end of all that was to be. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, and then we're going to jump down to verse 11. You shall remember all the way in which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. That He might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Now down to verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You see, he put them in a place where the only recourse they had was to depend upon him. And the point of that was to grow in them the grace of humility. And so dependence looks like humility. Is God working that in you? Has he put you in a kind of wilderness where you're just shut up to him? Where you have absolutely no recourse but to go to God. What's he doing? What's he up to? He's growing humility in you. And as he grows humility in you, he develops in you the grace of dependence upon him. Does it seem, are there days when it seems like he's just knocked all the props out from under you? Don't grumble and complain. When the props go, and nobody likes props to go, do they? Do you? Do you like the things you depend on to be just yanked out from under you? No. No. When the props go, don't grumble and complain, but learn the lesson of humility, because God is teaching you what it is to depend upon him so that you will be laid low. And humility increased because he wants you. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to lean upon him. He wants you to depend upon him. Well, at least in some ways, this is what the dependence upon God looks like. It has the face of prayer and of gratitude and of humility. And as much as we cherish our so-called independence, we ought to cherish a real dependence upon God so much more. Be done with this 21st century Western worship of independence. It's overrated. And gladly embrace your utter, absolute, complete, 100% dependence upon God for absolutely, completely, 100% everything, all the time. And if you're not as dependent as you ought to be, and who of us is, then the thing to do is to depend on him to increase your sense of dependence. He gives grace to the humble. He gives the grace of increased dependence to those who ask him. So ask him and keep on asking him and embrace with gladness that place of dependence in which God places you, because it is the best place to be. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you for your word that teaches us how dependent we are. May we embrace that word with gladness, and may we get rid of that really wicked notion of independence. Help us to pray. Give us hearts of gratitude. Develop humility in us that we might really, deep in our hearts, be altogether dependent upon you. Thank you for taking such good care of your children. Thank you for giving us all that we need. Thank you for never forsaking your own. Give us more and more of that grace of dependence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.